Okay, so the first reading is from Exodus 25, 1 through 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skin dyed with red, and another type of durable acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." And then our gospel reading is from John 1, 1 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our receiving. Amen. Most of you probably remember what you were doing on May 13th, 2020. It was the day that our world shut down. And it wasn't just here in the United States, pretty much around the world for the most part. Places shuttered their windows and closed their doors. People stayed inside, stayed safe, because the COVID virus had been declared here in the United States a national emergency. As you know, only certain businesses were allowed to remain open, those businesses that were deemed essential. And we were shocked that the churches were not considered to be essential. We do think of them as essential for us, don't we? Because they are essential to our spiritual well-being. However, they were not essential for the everyday life of those physical needs that we have to have in order to survive. We didn't sell groceries, we didn't provide medicines, we didn't have doctors on site or nurses on site to care for the sick. We were a place that could close and remain closed so that people could stay safe. It caused an uproar across the country. Some churches even refused to close their doors. But as you know, here in Holston, our bishop and the cabinet and those that were in conversation with them decided to close our churches, and we remained closed for quite some time. We took the dangers seriously. We didn't want to be a contributing factor to the spread of the virus. Only a few times in history have churches actually closed their doors due to a public health crisis. One of those, of course, was the 1918 Spanish flu, none of us here having been there to experience that. And then the 400 years spanning the length of the bubonic plague as it broke out and would recede and break out and recede again, as it occurred in Europe. All of us here this morning have lived through something that we personally have never experienced before and probably never thought we would. Who of us expected to have the world shut down like it did? None of us did. It was difficult for us to not be able to gather for in-person worship, but there's something it did remind us of, and people began stressing at this point. That whether or not we are under one roof together, we are still church. Whether we gather together in one location, under one roof, in a building that we call the church, we are still church, even when we are not together. It may remind you of that children's song that says, "The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. As we've been stuck in this post-pandemic wilderness en route to God's preferred future for us, we have found solace in the fact that we have been able to once again gather under one roof. I imagine the first time you came together for worship after that period, which was before I came to be with you, was a joyous occasion. I know it was when the church that I was serving at the time came together. We even had a picnic in a park not too long after that, just because we wanted to be together. We had not been together. I had not been able to be with them at all during that time. As we have mentioned, though, we are struggling to understand why some of us have not returned. And we keep asking ourselves one of three questions that Rebecca Simon Peter identifies in her book, Forging a New Path, Moving the Church Forward in a Post-Pandemic World. And that question is, how do we get people back to church? How do we get people to show up on Sunday morning, to walk in our doors, and to sit in our pews once again? Remember, we are church. Myself and each of you sitting here this morning, we are church. We are a living, breathing organism, the body of Christ. Yet we ask, how do we get people back to church? A location on a map, a building. Think about that for a minute. Rebecca Simon Peter also shared some insight about this from an experience a pastor had with a Facebook post writing. A pastor in Virginia reposted a popular meme on Facebook. The meme packed a punch. You can't serve from a sofa. You can't have a community of faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshiping together on your sofa. Christians aren't consumers. We are contributors. We don't watch, we engage. We give, we sacrifice, we encourage. We do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. She posted this with a note that following Jesus is not a passive activity, but an active one. And then she noted how many people clicked like to the post or commented amen or something in the affirmative to the post that had been made. And I'm sure that probably most of us would do the same. But not all responses were in agreement. Here are a couple that she shared. One from a former pastor. When the pandemic first started and everything shut down, we were all so quick to remind people that the church is not a building. And now, while we want to encourage people to stay engaged, we need to be careful with our wording so that we don't accidentally say, actually, the church is a building and you need to go there. And from another Virginia pastor, I've seen this posted around and it sort of rubs me the wrong way. I think you should be in church on Sunday misses the point. If the church isn't a place someone wants to be, it's probably not the place of healing and liberation we would like to think it is. It says more about our church model than the dedication of members that aren't flocking back. We need to be careful about our wording so that we don't accidentally say, actually, the church is a building and you need to go there. And if the church isn't a place someone wants to be, it's probably not the place of healing and liberation we would like to think it is. Those are hard words to hear, aren't they? They are hard words to hear. But they are words that most pastors have thought of at some time or another. Are we saying to the people that the church really is this building after all? Are people that are not coming back to us not coming because they have not found this to be a place of healing and liberation like we think it is? Just what does that say for us as we are seeking to be the church in this post-pandemic time? This morning, I want us to revisit the Israelites in the wilderness once again and for the last Sunday. And this time, they are going to be constructing something. Moses is on the mountain with God, and when God gives him instructions to collect an offering from the people, the items will be used to construct the tabernacle. Then in verse 8 and verse 9, in today's passage from Exodus, we heard, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all of its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Now you're thinking, well, the tabernacle was a structure. Yes, it was. It was an elaborate structure with very precise guidelines for how it was to be constructed. But it was a temporary structure that became the home of the Ark of the Covenant and the setting of Israelite worship, particularly through the burnt offerings, all while the people were en route to the Promised Land. More importantly, though, is what the tabernacle represented. The word tabernacle does not mean structure. The word tabernacle literally means to dwell. It literally means to dwell. Thus, the tabernacle was understood as the dwelling place of God, or it was understood to be the presence of God. While most people point out the temporary function of the tabernacle as the predecessor to the temple, today I want us to think about another important reality. And that is that the tabernacle was mobile. It was mobile. It can be broken down and carried as they traveled and journeyed. And then as they stopped, it could be set up wherever they were. Why was this important? It was a reminder that wherever God's people are, God is. Wherever God's people are, God is. It's as if God was saying to the people, "Have tent, we'll travel. If you've got a tent for me, I'm going with you." In her article on the tabernacle found on myjewishlearning.com, Hilda Ratzeby references the 19th century Russian Jewish commentator Malbim saying about his understanding of the symbolic significance of the tabernacle. "It was not that God needed a physical sanctuary on earth, but that each one of us is called to build a tabernacle for God in our hearts, preparing ourselves to become a sanctuary for God." Gee, I think there's a little chorus that we sang at camp about that. "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." After the people settled, later we know that the temple was constructed with Solomon during Solomon's reign. It was then destroyed when Jerusalem was defeated by the Babylonians and the people were sent into exile. And out of that experience came this heart-wrenching psalm, Psalm 137. "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is one who seizes your infants and dashes them against their rocks. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? I bet many of you thought of that psalm during the pandemic when you were holed up in your homes watching the worship service on TV. You felt like you were in a foreign land, far away from your temple that had been destroyed. Later, the second temple was completed in 20 BCE, but it would once again be destroyed in 70 Common Era. Writing after the destruction of the second temple, but about an event occurring during the time of the second temple, hear again how John announces Jesus' birth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And there it is. There it is. The Word, which was God, made his dwelling, or literally tabernacled with us. The Word tabernacled with us. Or I like how Interpretation Commentary puts it, pitched his tent among us. The Word pitched his tent among us. In the person of Jesus, the people were once again reminded that God was present with them wherever they were. Whether that be on a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, with a wedding party at Cana, in the Samaritan city of Sychar, where he met a woman at Jacob's well, at Zacchaeus' home in Jericho, in Capernaum, where he healed the bleeding woman and Peter's mother-in-law, a paralytic, and cast out demons and raised Jairus' daughter. Once again, in the tabernacle of Jesus' body, God's earthly tent, the presence of God was mobile, not confined to place, but was in the world as Jesus moved about the countryside, meeting the people where they were. You know, we use that phrase, meeting people where they are, a lot. Most of the time when we use it, though, we're thinking about spiritually where people are. But what if it also means literally where they are? Where they are physically. In the parks, on the trails, on the golf course, in the coffee shops, in the office break room, in the gym, at the lunch table. Could these be places of church too in today's world? Paul says in Galatians, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." In other words, we have put on the tent of Jesus. As the body of Christ, in a sense, we are a continuation of the tabernacle of God. And God says, have tent, we'll travel. Wherever we go throughout the day, throughout the week, God is. God is. And just as the glory of the Lord was revealed in Jesus, when we make ourselves available to be God's tabernacle in the world, the glory of the Lord is revealed through us as well. Even before the pandemic, Many were already beginning to see that church as we have known it was not working. We've been talking about that. That church as we have known it is not working. There's a group called Fresh Expressions. It began in the United Kingdom and has kind of come across the pond, so to speak. But now there is a Fresh Expressions movement in the U.S. And Fresh Expressions has realized the need for what they call the distributed church. The distributed church. And those are places within the world that don't look like church, but where people gather naturally. And in those places, God is tabernacling with them. God is dwelling with them. Michael Beck is one of the leaders in the Fresh Expressions movement. And by the way, our own Susan Arnold, who is the new director of church revitalization, I can't remember the exact title, she is getting her doctorate in Fresh Expressions ministries. But Michael Beck tells about his experience of going to a church in Florida. And when he went there, it was a small church. And he told them, I'm not going to be in the office. I'm going to be out in the community. And he was. And while there, he started a church that met in Moe's Burritos. They called it Burritos and Bibles. And he showed a video of Moe's Burritos where they're lined up in this long table. And everybody's got their Bible out. They're eating their burritos and chips and dip, but they've got their Bibles out and they're having worship. And another one started, of all places, in a tattoo parlor. And he talked about one gentleman who would come to their worship in this tattoo parlor who had the worst language you could possibly imagine. Probably would make a sailor blush. But he said, finally, this one gentleman said, you know, I don't think anybody else here talks like that, do they? And he realized that he was speaking in a way that was not pleasing. And so he changed his behavior and he became a part of that church and gave his life to Christ. Members of his church, the actual physical location, started their own Fresh Expression ministries, their own distributed church, still tied to the mother church, but they had one of the gentlemen was a dog walker, and he took his dog to the park, and so he started a small worshiping group there in the dog park. Another lady had a yoga studio, and she started a worshiping community in her yoga studio. All of these were legitimate places where people were worshiping, gathering together over shared interest, but a way that allowed God to tabernacle among the people. Perhaps that is the way God is leading us today in this post-pandemic world, to truly go where the people are and to meet the people where they are. When Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, he wasn't standing on a boulder and pointing to it and saying that. He was looking Peter in the eye, a human being, and he said, upon you I will build my church. When Jesus met the disciples before he was ascended into heaven in Matthew after his death and resurrection, he didn't tell them, go sit in the temple and the synagogues and wait for people of the world to come to you, then make them disciples. No, he said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Today, perhaps what the church needs is to think less of what it means to be a temple and more of what it means to be a tabernacle in the world today. Each of us has a place where God can use us to build God's kingdom, a place where we can be in ministry. You don't have to be an ordained pastor to be in ministry with someone. But to be in ministry with those who are hurting, who are hungry, who are lost, who need Jesus. Where is your passion? Are you a hiker? We have in our own conference, we have a hiking chaplain. That's his ministry. He is hiking, well, this year it's actually a female. She is hiking the Appalachian Trail, and in her hiking, that is her ministry with other hikers. Some churches have started what they call dinner churches, meeting in schools or other places that they offer a meal and then have a ministry with families where children and adults and youth come together and worship. And it can be messy, but it can be fun and it can be glorious. There are all kinds of opportunities for us to be the tabernacle of God in the world. The question is, are we willing to let God use us in that way? One of the ways we are doing that is our online ministry. As we continue to offer our worship online, and we look for ways to expand that ministry. But where is God calling you to be tabernacle today? God dwells with us wherever we are. Not just here in this place, but wherever we go in the world. May others experience the presence of God as we go into the world and God works through us. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us that so often we do think that worship of any kind has to take place at a certain location or in a certain way. In this day and time with so much negative exposure of the church and the world, sometimes that makes it hard for us to reach people because they're not going to come. It's not a place of liberation and healing. But we do know you as a liberating and a healing God who wants to bring that liberation and healing to others. And so, like Jesus sent his disciples into the world, Jesus, in whom you tabernacled, so you send us as you tabernacle in us. Lord, help us to not be intimidated by your call. Help us to see those around us in whatever we do and in those places that bring us joy. To see them and to see it is an opportunity to share your love so that your glory may be revealed through us. Make us a tabernacle today, Lord. A tabernacle for you. Amen.